How's it going, guys? Welcome back to The Foo Show. I'm your host, Coach Ali Foo Show. In this episode, episode number 31, we will be talking about training splits and frequency. But before that, I just want to make some more announcements. If you guys were here in the last episode, you knew that I made the major announcement that thankfully I did get a job offer in Japan, and I was really happy to see that a lot of people were able to comment or like message me privately saying that they're happy for me, that they're congratulating me, and that's, you know, I really do appreciate that. I said thank you to everyone when they messaged me. I'm gonna say thank you again to all the viewers there. But some more announcements on top of that is that this is precisely why when I made that announcement, I also said that, all right, it's good news, it's happy news, but I didn't want to, I didn't want to celebrate or be super happy quite yet, because I did, you know, just wanted to be, you know, just to be sure, because, you know, you never know when something can go wrong, and something did go wrong, unfortunately. It's not the happiest, it's actually quite sad news, but it's not the end of the world. Unfortunately, the employer that gave me that initial offer had to withdraw the offer. Long story short, there were just some, not complications, but there were just some points in as being a Filipino passport holder. There were just so many steps, so many hurdles that had to be made for me to become a full-time employee for that employer, or for that gym to be specific. And of course, those hurdles were just a bit too much, to the point that the employer had to unfortunately withdraw that offer. So, good news for you guys. I'll be here in the Philippines to everyone that, you know, to everyone that sees me quite often, to the people that I coach here. They were happy to receive those news that, oh, you're not leaving. So, of course, they're happy that they have me as their coach for, like, indefinitely, I guess, now. But, of course, they're also sad because they knew how much that meant to me. But, all right, I just wanted to share that just, you know, so that people can... Because I know that people congratulated me for that. I just want to update you and be real. You know, life isn't perfect. But here we are today in episode number 31. Just trying to keep on putting out content for you guys. And on that note, sorry again for that. How long was that intro? That was a 2 or 3 minute intro. Let's get to the main topic. It'll be so weird if you are a new viewer or new listener and you wanted to learn about training frequency in the first few minutes were about my life story or like my recent life story about me not moving to Japan as soon as I thought I would be. But anyway, let's talk about the main topic of the video. Training frequency and training splits, or in other words, training frequency. So to those of you who are listening to this through Spotify, I'd highly recommend that you leave Spotify now and go to the YouTube page, because I have prepared a PowerPoint presentation just to make sure that things are easier to absorb. So of course, if you're on Spotify, once again, try to go to YouTube, because I think it's going to be, the information will be much more easily absorbed if you have my visual aid. But all right, let's talk about it. Training splits and frequency. We are going to dwell on the 4 most common examples of training splits. We of course have the full body split, the bro split, the upper lower split, and of course, the push-pull legs. Now, each of these splits do have their own pros and cons. There's not really one that's super-duper bad, but you are going to learn towards the end of this video. I do have a personal preference due to my experience for my own coaching, for my own training, and through the experience of all my other fellow lifters, and primarily through my experience as being a coach who has trained over hundreds of people, and I was able to learn a lot of different things. So it's not going to be primarily based on like scientific literature, or like there's no lab tests with regards to my preferences or my, what I'll be sharing, by the advice that I'll be sharing. This is based on my experience the past 8 years as being a personal trainer and being a lifter myself. So before we go talk about the pros and cons, let's talk about what these splits are. Very straightforward, full body, you're training your entire body each time that you do go to the gym. So that's both your upper and your lower body, obviously. For a bro split, so this is the only one that's not necessarily scientifically or straightforward. It's called bro split. It's because that's what a lot of bros or meatheads, again, meatheads not a bad thing, but meatheads do in the gym, wherein they train just one muscle group per session that they do go to the gym. So for example, they'll go to the gym just for shoulders or for a shoulder day. They'll go to the gym for an arm day, a leg day, a back day, a chest day. So those are normally the five groups that a lot of people would go do the bro split. Next up, we have the upper and lower split. Very straightforward. If you go to the gym, you'll be just doing everything in your upper body. So that can be your back, your chest, your shoulders, and your arms. And then for the lower body or the leg day, you can do anything that targets your glutes, your hamstrings, your quads, your calves, tibialis, if ever you're into that. So that's how the upper-lower split will be. Next, and the last one is the push-pull legs. A push day is wherein you will be training muscle groups that are involved in every pushing exercise. So for example, a bench press, that is obviously a push because it's a press that will use your chest, your shoulders, your triceps, overhead press, your shoulders and triceps. So basically you can do a lot of pushing exercises. You can also do isolation work that would recruit the said muscle groups in a push. So you can do tricep extensions, front raises, or any other lift, as long as the muscles that are being targeted are muscles that were involved in a push. Then vice versa, you have the pull day. So whether that be a row or a pull down, you'll be working on your back, your rear shoulder, and your biceps. Those are normally the muscle groups for the pull. And then the legs, similar to the lower body split, your glutes, your hamstrings, and your quads and your calves, etc. So those are the four common examples that you will see people doing. Like I'm sure there's some variation of a different split, but generally speaking, these are the usual splits, or like 95% of the splits that you will be seeing online or like with people in your local gym. Now, let's talk about it in a bit more detail. So I've prepared a crazy detailed table for y'all. This will highlight the frequency of each gym session, or like how frequent you'll be going to the gym per week, how frequent a body part will be targeted, and of course, the usual demographics or like the usual type of people that will be doing said split. I want to emphasize that this is usual. It's not that, oh, if you fall under this demographic, this is the only split you can do, etc. These are just the usual case-to-case basis on why somebody would opt to use this goal or to use this split. All right. So let's first talk about full body in order. Full body, normally you would be going to the gym 1 to 4 times a week. And because of that, since it is full body, how often will a body part be targeted or a muscle group be targeted? 1 to 4 times a week. Because of course, each time you go to the gym, you will be hitting your full body. You're pushing, you're pulling your legs, or even some isolation work. The usual demographic on who would be using this, I would say falls down to like 3 types of lifters. Of course, there are a lot of different demographics that I didn't include. Let's say CrossFitters, but they're obviously always full body anyway. I didn't involve weightlifters in this table. I didn't involve triathletes just because I just wanted to prioritize. I'm sorry, but I'm going to prioritize like 90 to 95% of people that do go to the gym. So just to make the chart a little easier to understand. All right, so the usual demographic first up will be the general population. When I say general population, these are people that just generally want to get fitter, stronger, people who are normally after fat loss, people who just want to be generally healthier, general population. Next up, the people that will be probably, or I would definitely recommend, would be an athlete. So athletes, when I say athlete, I mean people who are in sports like basketball, football, or like swimming. Basically, any full body sport, you should be doing a full body workout. The reason why I don't think they should be doing any other workout is because as an athlete, you are using your full body. You're not going, you shouldn't necessarily be training a bro split. You shouldn't just focus on your shoulders if you're an athlete, because your main goal is to improve your performance in your specific field, in your specific sport. So on that note, you would definitely want to train full body. And just because you just don't want to be, you don't want to prioritize one muscle group, because if that muscle group is so sore or so fatigued for your next skill session or for the performance day or in like in the field or in the court, that muscle group, if it's broken down, if it's beaten up, it's going to be a huge limitation. So it's better to spread it out through a full body workout if you're an athlete. And of course, afterwards would be powerlifters. Does that mean that powerlifters aren't real athletes? Of course, powerlifting is a real sport. Absolutely. There's obviously just a joke that if you're a powerlifter or like even a weightlifter, there's a joke, I want to say, a joke or like a meme that they're not real athletes because they're just lifting weights. But of course, to the people who know what's up, powerlifting, weightlifting, all other strength sports are actual sports. So of course, you're going to be considered an actual athlete. So yeah, powerlifters normally, because they do combine a lot of their main work. They're people who prioritize the squat, the bench, the deadlift. It is quite often to see that somebody would squat and bench on the same day, bench and deadlift on the same day. Like even if they're not, example, if they're going to squat, it's often for them to do a bench accessory or a deadlift accessory or a back accessory. So normally, since powerlifters have a higher frequency of doing their bench, they should be doing, some of their workout days will have a squat and a deadlift. So just because of that, they're automatically going to be placed in the full body category. Next up, let's talk about the bro split. In the bro split, you will be, the frequency of how often you'll be going to the gym is going to fluctuate or range from 5 to 7 times a week. If you are doing a bro split and you are only going to the gym 1 to 3 times a week, that is terrible, because you're probably not going to be hitting each muscle group in your entire body. And that just means you're not really working hard enough, or like, that's basically it. You're not working each muscle group if you're doing a bro split and you're only going 1 to 3 times a week. That's just a waste of your time, to be honest. Like that's actually like really stupid to do. Because if you are doing a bro split, you should be going to the gym 5 to 7 times a week. And with the bro split, normally a muscle group will only be targeted once a week. But of course, there are cases wherein some people, if they have a weak point that they want to train in, it's going to be 1 to 2 times a week. So sometimes somebody can do a shoulder day, a back day, a chest day, a leg day, an arm day, and then another shoulder day. For example, if their shoulders are their weaknesses, or is their weakness, they can opt to do that. And then everything else is just once a week. And normally, people who would be doing this would be bodybuilders. And when I say bodybuilders, I don't just mean like the professional bodybuilder level or like the physique athletes. I want to categorize a bodybuilder as somebody who, or anyone who wants to build size. That's a wide range. But you know what? I'll include it. Like post-production, as I'm editing this, it'll say bodybuilders, but now I also want to add people who want to get bigger, or like people who want to develop specific their muscle size. Yeah, like I mean, it's hard to say, because when we think about bodybuilders, we're thinking about real bodybuilders who are in the elite level, who have really massive muscles, muscularity already, relatively lean, or like professional athletes. But I think this will definitely apply to a lot of people who just want to get bigger, hence the term a bro. You know what? All right, I'll change it up. It'll say bodybuilders and then bros. But of course, when I say bro, that involves men and women. Plus, I don't want to, you know, be canceled for that. Next up is the upper-lower split. The frequency of gym sessions per week would be 4 to 6 times a week, because 4 times is the usual one, because you can go upper, lower, so that's 4 times already, but people can definitely opt for an upper, lower. So basically, Monday, for example, Monday to Saturday of upper, lower alternating, and then Sunday can be the rest day. Then the frequency of the body parts or muscle groups to be targeted will be 2 to 3 times a week. If you are doing an upper, lower, that's obviously twice a week. If you're doing upper, lower, that's 3 times a week for a muscle group or body part to be targeted. Now, generally, the usual demographic for this type of split should be people like in the general population, powerlifters, and bodybuilders. Next up will be the push-pull legs. This is for people who will be going to the gym 3 to 6 times a week. So this can be a push-pull legs, and then that's it. Like MWF push-pull legs. That's not the usual recommendation, but it's an option. Next up, we have the push-pull legs. So that's going to be 6 days a week. And the number or the frequency of the muscle group for a muscle group to be targeted would be 1 to 2 times a week. So again, push-pull legs. And generally, the people who would be doing this would be the general population and bodybuilders. So you might be wondering, why are there repeating demographics? Why are the general population appearing in the full body, the upper, lower, the push-pull legs? And why are bodybuilders appearing twice? Powerlifters appearing twice as well? That's primarily because you can play around with it. Just because you're a general population after fat loss, that doesn't mean that you have to do a certain split. Just because you're a bodybuilder doesn't mean you have to do this, or a powerlifter that you have to do this. This is why it's a good topic to discuss, because there is a lot of flexibility with regards to what split you should be doing at a certain point of your life. So if there's something that I want you guys to take away from this episode, is that yes, there are some pros and cons per split, but don't let anyone tell you otherwise that this split is terrible and then this split is the best. Yes, people can have their personal preferences, but don't fall into the mindset that, oh, I'm doing this split, but I heard that this other split is better. Let me just hop onto that other split. No, I want you guys to understand and accept that no matter what split you are doing, you can definitely make crazy progress. You can make good progress. Now, of course, in time, you might want to shift between splits, and that can be because of multiple things. One, because if you've been doing full body for like a year or 2 years, tapos sawa ka na, or like you're sick of it, you're tired of it already, you can definitely switch to upper lower. And if you're somebody who's been doing bro split for a year or two already and you're tired of it, it's getting too repetitive, it's getting too old for you, you can definitely switch to a push-pull legs. You will make progress as long as the general programming is sound. But with regards to the main topic of split and frequency, it's hard to say that one is is the best for all situations. There can be a best per situation or per time in your life, whatever is better for you. But again, don't fall into the camp that one is shit or one is bad and then the other one's already better. Everything is good. You just have to find out which works for you at your certain time of your life. And if you're wondering, what does that mean, certain time of your life? I think the number one thing that will dictate the number one thing that should dictate your training split would be your schedule outside of the gym. And I know that sounds obvious already, but a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't understand that you can make your gym schedule, or how can I phrase this? A lot of people don't understand that your gym schedule should revolve around your work schedule. It's not the other way around, that the work schedule should revolve around your gym. Unless, of course, you're a professional athlete and this is the only thing that you're doing, then, of course, your gym schedule is your work schedule. And if you're really passionate about your gym and then work can, you know, be in the back burner, then that's perfectly fine. But for majority of people in the world, and I'm assuming majority of the people watching this, work or personal life will play a bigger role compared to your gym, to your gym schedule. So on that note, what I would want you to do to understand, when it comes to picking what split you should be doing, pick the split that you can commit to. Because a lot of people go for, oh, I want to do this split. But if your schedule cannot allow it, then that's pointless. You have to pick the split that you can commit to. Because you want to make sure that your programming is something that you can continually do for X number of months. I don't want you to change for like, oh, January, I'll do a full body. Then February, I'll do a bro split. Then March, I'll do an upper lower. Don't go crazy like that. Or don't keep on hopping, program hopping, template hopping. Instead, pick one, stick to it for at least 3 months, 3 to 6 months, or all the way up to a year, and then you can change it, or you can play around with other splits. So basically, commit or pick to something that you can easily commit to. And of course, on that note, I want to go divulge on the pros and cons of each split. For the full body, I'm going to say that the biggest pro of a full body is that it is better for maintaining overall consistency, especially for those who get really busy. So what do I mean by that? Because life gets busy, and it's perfect that I talked about committing to a schedule that you can commit to. Because if life happens and then you can't make it to the gym, at least you know that you were able to work out your full body at least once this week. So for example, if you're going to be doing an MWF 3 times a week of a full body workout and you can't make it to your Wednesday full body, at least you know that Monday and Friday, you were able to hit every muscle group at least twice that week. And that's a big win already. So in my experience of coaching hundreds of people, this has been, honestly, this has been an honest game changer. The fact that you are able to hit every muscle group, you can be confident that your workout will be fine, that your progression will be fine. Because unlike the bro split, spoiler later, the con of the bro split is that if you miss a session, you missed training that muscle group for that week. And that will definitely add up if you keep on missing sessions. So it's great that the full body, you'll be able to work out your full body at least once a week. And that's the best way to make sure that you're progressing long term. The second pro of the full body workout is that you are able to go a bit harder throughout the whole workout session due to fatigue being spread out. What do I mean by that? Because you're working on a full body, example, you start on your upper body. Let's say you do a bench or a push-up at the start, and then you have to do a lunge or a squat later. You can rest assured that your legs won't be that beaten up because that's the first lower body exercise that you'll be doing that day. So that's what I mean. Full body workouts, you can go a bit harder each lift and each exercise because there's nothing beforehand within that day that's fatigued it. So this is in contrast, for example, spoiler again for the upper lower day, that if you do on a lower body day, you're going to deadlift first and then right after you're going to squat. Normally, your back will be really fatigued from the deadlift to the point that your ability to squat well will now be limited. So that's one way to look at it. And that's precisely why these are the two biggest pros for the full body. Better for consistency, and if you're able to definitely go hard. Like you don't need to be worried about intensity dropping off towards the end of each session because now your fatigue is evenly being spread out throughout the week. But of course, it's not all pros. There are some cons for the full body, and this is primarily a logistical issue. Generally, full body workouts require more time because more warm-ups are needed. So for example, you using the same scenario a while ago, if you benched, so you did your warm-up sets for your bench, you did all your main sets for the bench, and then you have to do a, let's say, a squat or a lunge right after, you do have to warm up your lower body, because the only thing that's been fully warmed up or fully primed for action or for main sets was your upper body. So because of that, you will have to take time to warm up. And again, that's not a huge thing on it in by itself. But if you are a busy person and you don't have a lot of time, or you can't allot a good number or like a few minutes or extra minutes to warm up properly, then of course that may be an issue down the line. So again, because of the setup of the full body split, you might have to warm up a bit longer. Or your gym session might last a bit longer because you needed to warm up more. And because of the full body, you're not going to be focusing on a specific muscle group. The pumps are normally not that pronounced. Or like you'll feel a pump, sure, but not like towards the end of a bro split when the pumps will feel really, really good. And I think that's a good segue to the next part, wherein that's the only pro of the bro split, that your pumps will feel godly. So for example, if you're doing an arm day and then you did how many sets of biceps already, I did a bicep barbell bicep curl, cable bicep curl, the preacher curl, after let's say over 10 sets of targeting your bicep, you will feel a massive pump, and that's going to feel great. But again, that's the limitation, that you'll only be doing that once a week. So one of the cons that I've listed out for the bro split is that it's generally harder to perfect your technique because of the low frequency. And this primarily applies to beginners. So this is precisely why I'll never, ever recommend the bro split to a beginner. Because as a beginner, you need to practice. You need to perfect your technique, your skill of doing each exercise better. So you can't, again, I'll use the example of basketball. If you're a basketball player and then you're only going to be practicing basketball once a week, you can't expect to become a better player. You have to practice 3-4 times a week to get better at that skill. Same with the gym. If you're a beginner and you're learning how to squat, you're learning how to bench, you're learning anything, more exposure, more frequency will definitely be helpful to master your technique. And that's precisely why it's a con in the bro split, because you won't be able to allot enough exposure to get better at these exercises. Next up is that the intensity might drop towards the end of each workout session. So I'll use the example of biceps again. If you've been doing like 8 to 12 sets already, and you're only like halfway through your workout, for example, for your biceps, you're probably going to be really fatigued, or your biceps are going to be extremely tired already towards the end of the workout. So if you're able to lift, let's say 20 kilos or like 10 kilos per hand for a dumbbell curl, because of the fatigue, you might go for 5 kilos. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you already accomplished the main mission, which is to fatigue the muscle group. But a lot of people would argue, and I would argue as well, that that might be junk volume or just a waste of time. In other words, a junk volume is a waste of time, waste of energy. Because you want to make sure that you're not overdoing it each time. So again, that's one of the major cons of the bro split. And this is, for me, this is the biggest con. You have to be super strict with your scheduling. Because if you train one exercise, just one exercise per week, one muscle group per week, I meant, and then you miss it because you have an overtime. You got overtime at work, or it was traffic, and then the gym closed, for example. That sucks. You basically missed the training day. And if you're going to do it the next day, you're basically adjusting your entire calendar week because you missed one session. And that's something that I don't want a lot of people to go through, because consistency of the routine, example, if you set it to be TTHS or MWF or Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, etc., almost always it's better to be strict with that scheduling. And if you miss a session in the bro split, that's just, you know, hurting yourself or that long-term progress down the line. Next up, you have the upper-lower. And actually, I want to talk about the upper-lower and the push-pull legs at the same time, because their pros and cons are basically the same, because the nature of the split is very similar, upper or lower, push-pull legs. Basically, the push-pull legs is upper, upper, lower, upper, upper, lower, just a different bias each day. All right, On that note, they have two similar pros. Without feeling detrained, your body should be recovered enough before you do the same muscle group again. This is really important because a lot of people think that you can only work out if you're completely recovered, as in 110% recovered. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, but that's not a good thing as well, because you do want to keep on fatiguing your muscle groups, you know, I mean, at a good pace, right? For example, MWF can be your upper, and then TTHS can be your lower. So 48 hours in between each muscle group being trained is a good time frame, as opposed to the bro split, wherein it is a full calendar week of recovery. Your muscles are going to be recovered 3 to 4 days after you train them, and you're going to be waiting another 2 to 3 days before you train them again. So that is why I use the term detrained, or unconditioned, or unprimed, because you're just basically not utilizing all the time that you have to continually progress that exercise or to progress that muscle group. So that's precisely why this is a big pro of the upper lower, because the frequency allows you to train each muscle group when it's already somewhat recovered and not to the point of being detrained. And the pump should feel good. But that's a great thing. I mean, of course, pump is not everything, but pump is a great thing to chase at each session, because at least you know you're targeting each muscle group. And if you do upper body only on a specific day, you're going to feel your pecs pop or your arms be pumping out there, which is a good thing. Now, the con for the similar con between the upper lower and the push-pull legs is that intensity might drop towards the end of the workout session. Similar to the bro split, intensity or like how much weight you'll be lifting towards the end might be affected. But of course, that all depends on the programming. It's not a major con, but it is something to look out for, because you don't want to end up doing junk volume, right? And then next, this is where it becomes a bit different. Upper-lower splits, if not programmed well, weaknesses or imbalances might develop. Again, this is very anecdotal. I'll use myself as an example. With an upper-lower split, normally that means you'll be doing, in an upper body day, you'll be doing a lot of pushing and pulling. What happens is that your torso will develop really well. Your chest will pop, your back, your lats will develop. But towards the end of that session, you might not have enough time, or you might not have enough energy to develop your arms and your shoulders. Or and vice versa, if you prioritize a lot of arm work, you might not have enough time or energy to work on your chest, on your or on your lats. So at the end of the day, you do have to make sure that you're able to, or sorry, at the end of the week, you have to ensure that you're able to spread out volume equally to both your torso and to your arms. Because I fell to the trap, or I fell into the mistake of prioritizing my torso. So my chest and my back are pretty good, but my arms and my shoulders fell off. So that was the mistake I made when I used to do upper-lower splits. So that's something for you guys to watch out for. And the con of the push-pull legs is that since you are going to be doing a push, for example, in a push day, you're doing a lot of push work. You're going to be working on your elbow a lot. You're pressing, you're bench pressing, you're doing push-ups, overhead press, cable tricep extension, overhead tricep extension, etc. Your elbow will be overworked. And for some people who have bad joints, for me, for example, that joint might feel really, really wrecked towards the end of the session, and that might affect you throughout the whole week. So that's why I've never been a fan of this setup, because when I tried the push day for a few weeks, it never agreed in my joints. So that's something for you to consider as well. But again, similar to the upper-lower, there are, I would say that the pros do outweigh the cons. And these are just some things that you do have to, some cons that you have to look out for, especially if you're not able to program it well. But at the end of all of that, me explaining each split, what is my personal preference? Without a doubt, I do prefer full body for almost everyone. The reason why is because it's the first reason that I brought it up, that I brought up a while ago. It allows you to be the most consistent despite those days or those weeks when life gets hard. If you miss a day, you don't have to worry. I mean, of course, I don't want it to come across that, oh, I can miss a day easily because I'm doing a full body split. I'll be hitting it anyway throughout the week. Of course, try to be as consistent as possible. But just being realistic and to understand that sometimes it can be difficult to maintain consistency, the beauty of the full body workout or the full body split is that you can rest assured that you are training everything. And for me, ignoring all the other pros and cons, that is a huge, huge pro that that brings up my opinion on the full body. And of course, and the other pro is that, you know, you'll be able to go hard a bit more per exercise because your fatigue is now spread out relatively well. And then next up would be number two, the upper lower and push-pull legs. I explained to you why I like them and why there's some issues, but overall, they're great splits. And the one that I don't favor for a majority of people would be the bro split. The only time I'd recommend the bro split is if somebody really, really loves getting a pump. And if they don't get a pump, they don't feel like going to the gym at all. That is a rare, rare cert, instance. And I've met like a couple of people who like that setup. But personal preference, based on everything that I shared with you today, I don't think I'll recommend the bro split. It's not bad. If you program it well, and if you are able to like understand how much volume you can handle per session, I think the bro split can work. But for majority of people, knowing how life can be sometimes, I do recommend that you stray away from the bro splits and lean towards these other three. And of course, my personal bias would be the full body workout. But all right, so that was a way longer episode. I thought I'd be doing this in 20 minutes. But hopefully this long episode was good enough for a lot of you guys to understand the differences between each split. And of course, if you have any questions, feel free to comment down below. And that was episode number 31. And hopefully, because of my schedule being a lot more free now, because I'm not worried about visa work, unfortunately, I will have more time to do these videos for you guys. If you have any questions, leave a comment down below. If not, I'll see you guys next week for episode 32.